Paranormal Perception presents Women in the Paranormal is yet another audio creation from 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC.
Paranormal Perception presents Women in the Paranormal. These are standalone once-a-month episodes highlighting women and their contributions to the paranormal community. Here's your host, Amanda Ashley.
Hello, and welcome to Women in the Paranormal. This is a special episode for a couple of reasons. One, it's Halloween. Well, it was when this episode was released, depending on when you're listening. The second reason I'll tell you about at the end of the episode. First, let me introduce you to Anne Selene. Anne Selene is an author, researcher, and psychological essayist devoted to exploring the unseen architectures of the human experience. Her work lives at the crossroads of trauma and transformation, folklore and neuroscience, ancestral memory, and modern mysticism. With a background steeped in psychology, metaphysics, and historical inquiry, Anne brings a rare synthesis to her writing, infusing poetic insight with academic curiosity. Welcome to the show, Anne.
Oh, thank you so much. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you. Hopefully you're enjoying your spooky season.
Oh, yes, definitely. I am loving it as a new New Yorker.
Oh, yes.
The fall has been absolutely beautiful. Spending 2 years in Texas, it was just spring and then summer.
Yes.
So I'm so thrilled to see the changing of the leaves really get to experience everything.
Yes, I would love to visit at this time of year just to see everything. Because we're in California, we don't get a big, strong, swing of seasons either. So I would, sounds magical.
It is.
So we're going to start at the very beginning with our usual question, we'll go way back machine. So what sparked your interest in the paranormal? Just get your first memories of what really made you sink your teeth in.
So honestly, this goes back to my very first memory. And I remember sitting, looking out this beautiful, big glass, like sliding door. My dad had dropped me off at the neighbor's. She was babysitting me during this time. And I think that I was only about, I had to have been around one or two. And I remember sitting in front of this window and the sun was rising. And the time of year, the farm fields out back were completely flooded. So the sunrise, all the colors were, reflecting off of the water. And it was so gorgeous. And I remember, thinking just, wow, I came back. So that always stayed with me, that thought of reincarnation and feeling like I've been here before. And then as I got a little older, I remember nights where I was in my crib and I looked through the, the little bars, and I saw what I thought were shadow people that were in the hallway. I remember seeing a shadow hand that was kind of curled around the fingers, but nothing ever entered my room. And so I felt safe in my room, but I was really intrigued about what was in the hallway. And sometimes I would also hear footsteps. So I was really, I always say that I was born into it. I was born into a preternatural world. And, so of course, growing up, being into the ghost stories, and of course there was the Goosebumps books, and there was the shows like Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I loved it, and my grandpa was into it, and my dad, of course, he liked, like Halloween and the classic horror films.
Sure.
And so that was always a lot of fun. So then, getting into my teenage years, I was looking in the library for spooky, scary books. And I actually found a witchcraft book. And we were starting to get into like Ouija boards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I remember Ugh, man, I feel so bad. So I was totally admitting this here. I was 13, and I remember seeing this knotted cord spell, and I had tried it with my friends, and it was intended for one person, and we didn't know what was going to happen. We're just kids fooling around, right? And by the end of the day, somebody else who had the exact same vehicle as this person, somebody slashed their tires. It wasn't any of us. And when we heard about it, it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that that happened.
Yeah.
And it was intended for this other person. So that was an instant lesson right there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I always felt bad about it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, was that actually connected? I mean, because there's no proof, there's no way to definitively, you know, have evidence that caused it. It could have just been coincidence. But, you know, with the Ouija board, we had made a homemade one. And I remember nothing happened. And I thought, oh, you know, this is no big deal. It's nothing. And I just threw it away because we had used little pieces of paper and a TV tray and a cup. And
yes.
So we did that, threw it away, thought nothing of it. My friend's mom came and picked her up. Well, I ended up having every night, I was in the first two nights, I was just unsettled. And by the third night, you know, because I don't know how to describe it. It was just kind of like, I couldn't get comfortable. I couldn't find peace to really fall asleep. And then by the third night, it was just like that wondering if somebody was in your room or looking at you or something like that. It was a very strange feeling.
Yeah.
And then on the fourth or fifth night, I can't remember because it was a multiple day scenario. I remember laying in bed and feeling like there was a male presence right next to me. And then I remember the feeling of two hands holding down my legs.
Gosh.
And I was so terrified. And I just, you know, it was one of those things where you're sitting there going, oh, just barely breathe. You know, you try to act like you're sleeping or like, you know, like that would have made a difference. But that's where my mind was at.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how I fell asleep. I don't know how I fell asleep. But I mean, that's still beyond me. So I woke up the next morning. And I went and I told my parents, and my grandpa, he was religious, so he went and told our pastor, and the pastor came and blessed the house. And of course, I'm sitting there not having any idea, oh, is this, you know, did it work? What's going to happen tonight? You know, all this stuff. And I was laying in bed, and I was facing my left side, which is where my window is. On the right side behind me is where my bedroom door was. So on the wall that I'm facing by the window, I see this pulsating bluish white light, and it's bright. And I was just so taken back by it. Like, well, what is that? Is the TV on? Did I roll over on the remote? You know, so I, you know, or maybe it's my dad's TV from that down the hall, but that wouldn't make sense because it's too far away. So I rolled over. And at the end of the bed, there's just this huge ball of light blinding. It's just this circle of blue, white, pulsating light. And so I sat up to kind of like go towards it. And the second I did that, boom, it's gone. Like it was never there. But in that moment, I felt the most amazing peace that I've ever felt in my life. And I was able to go to sleep after that, and nothing happened, at least in that regard, that night or the nights that followed in that house. So, I mean, my life is full of different scenarios like this. So yeah, I was born into it, and then it decided it would keep me there.
is that the same house? So when you were young and you were looking through your, you know, kind of like crib slats,
yeah,
I'd assume that gives me that toddler-esque age, right? Very young.
Yes.
And then at that time, if you can remember, did you feel, even though that shadowy thing down the hall didn't come into your room, were you uncomfortable or were you just curious about it? And is that the same house as when you were a teen?
So, yes. Okay. So I lived in that house until I was around 19. Okay. And I moved in there when I was around a year old or so.
Okay.
The stories are a little... I'm unsure because I come from a long line of adoptions.
Okay.
And my mom gave me to my dad when I was born, and but I don't know when.
Okay.
So it was the same house, and as for the feeling of the shadow figures, I remember there were times where I felt kind of curious but uncomfortable, and then there were some nights where it felt really scary. So as I grew, I fought my dad to let me close my door. I didn't want my door open. They wanted my door open, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That whole thing.
Sure.
But eventually I got old enough to where I could shut my door.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, yeah. And your dad, and then you mentioned your grandpa, and any other family members that you had around, were they pretty open to talking about this kind of stuff with you, even if they had a religious, you know, upbringing and sense? Even if you did too, did you guys kind of intersperse the spiritual and the religious sides?
It was really, so that's one thing that's really cool. So my grandma and grandpa, they come from, it was a Christian background. And, you know, when grandma's mom, when they were little, she would always take them to church. And then that was a thing. You were going to get in trouble if you weren't ready and you were going to go. So it was very strict. And they always took them for generations.
Yeah.
But then by the time I came along and, you know, my dad was grown and stuff, they didn't really go anymore. But we had a Methodist church in town that my grandpa loved to go to. And so sometimes I went with him. My dad, on the other hand, totally spiritual. We are talking like, he went to healing group with me from the time I was 15 until I was like in my 20s. He learned about something about DNA, like unlocking something in your DNA, and he was able to heal his diabetes. He's transmuting different stuff and meditation and he was I had that blend.
Okay, nice.
And my grandpa, he actually had I feel so bad sometimes when I think about some of the stuff that I said or asked when I was a kid, but I remember the very first ghost story that I heard from my parents, and this is because there is a rumor in the family that we could be related to Harry Houdini.
Oh, okay.
And so I was really like, oh my gosh, you know, so I would watch documentaries when I was really little and learn all about him. And of course, I learned about the spiritualist movement.
Yeah.
So when I heard about this, oh my gosh, I went downstairs, toddled my way down there and said, hey, Grandpa. When you die, will you come back and say goodbye to me? And you know, it was just such an offhanded thing. And he looks at me and he's just like, well, I mean, I'll sure try. You know, what brought this on? And I was like, Harry Houdini, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, I said, do you believe that that can happen? And he said, well, I do, because when his mom died, we traveled up to, it was about a 4-hour drive to where they had been living, and our whole family, we've got a long lineage of being buried up there. And so we went up there to stay at their house. His dad was still alive. And that night, the night before the funeral, he remembers being kind of startled awake. And he saw a figure at the end of the bed, and it looked just like her. And the feeling that he got was definitely that she was there to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. And he got tears in his eyes when he told me the story. Unfortunately, he passed in 2011. And I believe he did actually make good on what I said when I was really little, because I've had some dreams, and he had said some stuff to me that nobody had told me, and I went and asked the family about it, and then they were like, "Where did you, like, how did you hear about this?" And I said, "Well, Grandpa told me."
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah.
That's very interesting. That's kind of comforting to know they, you can access, or you did access him in even in a dream state. It's just
yeah,
a nice comfort.
For sure.
You mentioned that you had come from a line of adoptions, but do you know other people in your family that kind of have abilities or are sensitive like yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I ended up, so I became the family genealogist.
Okay.
And so my mom doesn't talk about it a lot, but I've heard that she's definitely had some feelings. And when I found my biological grandmother, I think she had mentioned something as well. And so, but they, you know, in certain generations, certain things aren't talked about and other
yes.
things are. And
yes.
And so I continued my search. Unfortunately, she also passed away a couple years ago, so I was never able to dig any deeper. And,
sure.
and she still hadn't really uncovered a lot of information either, because she was still searching for a lot of information on her her birth parents. But I found out that through that line, we actually have in the census records a grandfather who was an herb doctor.
Okay.
So, yeah, so he yes. practiced, and there's like a story on him and everything. And yeah, he practiced herb healing and different, you know, folk medicine. And
yeah.
so I do believe that it runs in the family, and there's a yeah. lot of Appalachia connections. So that whole okay. family has Appalachian roots. And I know that that kind of stuff definitely travels down family lines.
Yeah, definitely. That's very cool. It's almost like he's the midwife, but whatever the male version of that is. And then you have described yourself as a lifelong experiencer. So
yes.
what does that mean to you? And kind of like, where do you go with that? Or do you have to tap into it? Or do things seem to just happen to you without your control?
Gosh, that's a wonderful question. So an experiencer, I've experienced a lot of things, but here's the thing. I'm still, how do I want to phrase this? Okay, so I'm an experiencer, but I'm also a skeptic.
Okay.
And this is kind of what put me down the path of studying psychology, because I have had so many different experiences in my life, and some I have been able to debunk and understand better how the human mind works and why I perceived something a certain way. And now that I know that, so I guess, for instance, I had an experience when I was around 6. And my whole life, I thought that there was this alien being or something in my room, because it was like there was something on the left side of my bed, so over by the window, and it crawled down to the foot of my bed and then up on the right side of my bed. So it was like doing that pattern. And then I thought it was going to appear at the left side, but it appeared at the right side. And it in my memory, it touched me on my lower back. Mm-hmm. And I could feel that, like, it carried, you know, it carried through my life. Well, I've learned in psychology that can be somatic trauma. So the body holds on to trauma in a way that it stores it so you can still feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also a lot easier. So if you already have a basis where you believe in something and then you encounter something that's traumatic, your mind can create a false memory based off of your belief system that will, you know, make it seem like it was aliens, because it's a lot easier for a mind to think that it was something out of this world, right?
Yes.
Rather than
yes.
thinking it was a friend or family member.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
And then the other thing too, so in our, I believe it's the hypothalamus in the brain, when we have something traumatic happen, we have a huge rush of cortisol. So as the stress chemical. And when that gets released, it floods the memory section of our brain. And, you know, humans are very fallible. And our memory is one of the toughest things. And it can be as simple as, you know, you thought that Susie Q had green eyes when in fact she had blue. I mean, it's a very common thing. Our memories are not always that sharp, especially during times of stress.
Yeah.
So through therapy and talking to certain people, I was able to actually find out what really happened. Okay. To me, and it was definitely not aliens.
Sure.
However, years later, I was, gosh, so this was in 2019, maybe-ish. And, you know, so now I'm all grown, parent of my own, you know, and I was writing for the newsletter for, you know, the apartment complex that I was staying at. And I had just had one submitted. I was so excited that my writing was published. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, what do I want to write next? And so I went out on the patio, which was so beautiful because you could see these like farmland, these rolling hills, and it was nighttime and the stars were out. We were right at the edge of town, so the light pollution was really low. And as I'm standing out there and I'm thinking about what am I going to write next, and I'm thinking about Earth Hour because I thought, you know, because I love conservation. I love the planet. I love animals. And I was thinking this would be a great, you know, a great way to participate. Well, something caught my attention from the corner of my eye. And so I look and there's this massive cloud of I don't know, fog. I don't want to call it smoke, but it was like fog or something. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it and I'm thinking, like, is somebody vaping or something? Because this is like huge, like, and it makes no sense. And the way that the weather was there, that just shouldn't be. And like I said, it didn't look like smoke. So there, it wasn't like there was something on fire. So I'm just watching it and I see it start to transform, take on this humanoid type figure. And I watch it walk down the sidewalk, just like we do, how we swing our arms, how we take the steps. It has the two legs, it's got the arms, it's got the linky body, it's got this weird shaped head, not a cone.
Yeah,
it's hard to describe it. But I'm watching it, and I, of course, so we have three states: fight, flight, and freeze. I am the lucky winner of freeze. So yeah. I'm standing there frozen. And again, I'm barely breathing because I'm sitting there being like, what am I watching? And of course, with the background in like Reiki and healing and energies and stuff like that, I understand that. And this can happen anyways. Like if you're a hunter out in the woods, you can feel when you're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, can this thing feel me staring at it? Can it feel my fear? Like,
yeah.
You know, so of course I'm just frozen. And then all of a sudden it just disappears. Like it walks through this invisible door and it makes no sense. And I'm just sitting there like frozen still because I have to turn around, number one. Number two, I have to open my sliding glass door. Number three, I have to then turn around and close the sliding glass door, still looking out there. And number four, I've got to close the curtains. So That's a lot.
Yeah.
And at any point in time, this thing manifested out of nothing and just randomly there. And I was terrified of that during one of those steps that it was just going to poof right in front of me. So finally, somehow I broke out of the freeze mode and I did the process. I got everything shut and I called my sister. I'm just crying. I'm hysterical. And that says a lot, too, because I have gone through so much in my life and I've had all these different experiences. But this was like really seriously genuine. And I'm calling her and I'm telling her about it. So she's, you know, calming me down. She's talking me through it. And she says, okay, why don't you just go through and close the curtain to each room? And I said, all right. She was like, I'm right here on the phone. So I go and I do this. And I get to the last window. I have my hand on the, because it's a string. So you pull the string and you let it down the blinds. And so my hand is on the string. And I look up because I feel like something is staring at me. And sure enough, in the green space across into the other, you know, the other part of our complex, this other set of buildings, I see it. It's now inside a different apartment, looking out the window, and it seems like it's staring right at me.
Oh my gosh.
And so I'm on the phone with my sister, and I'm like, and I'm explaining what I'm seeing, but I'm trying to be like not hysterical at this point because I don't want to be flailing around because then it knows that I know, but it's probably too late, I'm thinking. So she's like, keep me on speakerphone, like put me on speakerphone, pull up your camera and take a picture. So I'm doing it and I take the picture. And as soon as I took the picture, I released the blinds, you know, let go of the string, boom, they come crashing down. And I have that picture and you can definitely see something in it. I've tried to have people debunk it and everything and people haven't. They haven't found any normal explanation for it. But it's exactly what I saw walking down the road. And so, I mean, it's one of those things where there really are genuine experiences. Not everything can be explained away psychologically. But if we can dive into, you know, psychology and understanding how we work, I think that we can get closer to the truth.
Was it still in that, when you saw it inside the building, was it still in that smoky form or did it take a more solid-ish form? Was
it? So it was like a solid form, but still opaque.
Still opaque. Oh, interesting. And that was it then? That was the last time you, well, I'm sure you have many experiences, but that particular, that particular thing that was then. That was it for that guy?
Yeah.
He just did not. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, that one was tough. It took me a while to talk about that. I think I kept a lid on that one for, I mean, I know it was over a year.
Yeah.
So, because I was scared again. Like, energetically, if you talk about it, is there a tie? Can it come back?
Right. Right. And it's, that feeling you get, I'm sure, is that familiar feeling and not good.
Exactly.
So you're in your book, your first book you wrote is Aperture in the Veil, right? Born in a preternatural world. And do you discuss kind of these kinds of experiences in the book? Maybe not that one in particular, but do you go into your
I do. Okay. I go into all of these. So basically, the inspiration behind the book is the fact that my children asked me a lot of questions because they had experiences. So they would come to me and, you know, I was always open-minded and I always listened to what they said. And I also, you know, would teach them, okay, well, let's look at it objectively as well. Yeah. And so some things they could find what was actually causing it. And then other times it was, you know, really questionable. And so, I mean, here's the thing. And I'm not to be morbid because I know that some of the comments that I've made so far are kind of on the, you know, that side, I guess. But we're not promised tomorrow.
Yeah.
We have no idea. And knowing that, I wanted to create something as best as I could that really chronologically went through every experience I've ever had from my first memory until about 2023, I think is where I, or no, what year was that? I published it in 2022. Okay. So it was 2022. So up to that point. And, you know, so it was really for them and for other people that if they experience these kind of things, so you know that you're not alone. These things really do happen. They really do exist. And then I did, the picture that I took is published in that book.
Oh, it is. Okay.
However, and I'm trying to find, okay, here. So I pulled the book and from where it was, and I'm republishing it. And I'm republishing it under a new name. It's now called Haunted Inheritance, a okay. Memoir of Spirits, Signs, and Second Sight. It just didn't sell under the, you know, current cover and the title. So sure. I tried to make it a little bit more like, so, you know, so that way when you pick it up, you really actually do know what it's about and what's inside.
Yeah.
You know, so, but that, and that should be, oh, that should be, I'm hoping, available by January at the latest.
Oh, exciting. Okay. So coming up soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. How fun. And are your kids, I don't know how old they are, but are they of reading age? Have they read through it or have you shared
yeah.
with them? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They're they're teens okay, and stuff okay. and they enjoyed it. All three of them have read it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Good. That's kind of
yeah,
fun.
Yeah. And they even have their own copies. So.
Okay. That's so cute. I love that for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you also had a KPNL radio, right? That you're not doing anymore, but go ahead and walk me through that process.
Of course. So, gosh. So I ended up, let's see, how far back do I want to go?
As far as you'd like.
You're right. Let's see, 2015, maybe it was 2014. Or somewhere transitioning between the two. I was homeschooling the kids, and we ended up getting to a unit on entertainment, the development of radio, TV, you know, entertainment and everything. And of course, I have a background in antiques. I come from a long line of rock hounders and people that love ephemera, so old postcards, photographs, etc. And my dad actually put on the three largest antique paper shows in the Pacific Northwest for years. So we got to this unit, and of course I was really excited, and I was like teaching them about Howdy Doody and Rin Tin Tin, and I got on the computer and I'm just like, oh man, I wonder if, you know, this exists anywhere online, and I don't know if they have like radio shows anymore. I had no idea what a podcast was.
Sure.
So I typed in like radio show, you know, yeah. old time radio shows, and then podcast, the word podcast came up. So I was like, ooh, I wonder what this is. So then all of a sudden, there's this world of podcasts. And then I find out that there's ones that are dedicated to like specifically the paranormal, specifically Sasquatch. And I'm just like, oh, man. So I yeah. start listening to a couple of them. And I got into a group on Facebook that really, like we were talking about all this stuff, and it was really cool because it was like a really interactive group, and we were all getting ready for the premiere of this podcast, and so we would banter back and forth, and I was so excited, you know, I'd run kind of like a little group to get everybody like together about 30 minutes before the show would start, and then we like discussed the show in a different chat when the show was on. It was so much fun. This is before YouTube, you know, did what it does now.
Yeah.
And so somebody said to Vance and I, so Vance is my original co-host of the podcast that I had, which is called The Caravan Library of Lore. And they're like, oh my gosh, you guys really have to have your own show. You guys have to, you know, get a podcast. And so we gave it a shot. And the caravan ran from 2015 or 16. until I want to say 2022 or the beginning of 2023. I think my last episodes were in the fall of 2022.
Okay.
But I'd have to go back. And I did that. So I had that for a while. And then KPNL was born because of the caravan. So KPNL went on air January 1st, 2019. And this happened because I had a page on the website, in the caravan website, that said, what was it? Something like schedule or... I can't remember. It was something, but it was for the community. I wanted to share what other people were doing because I had found, you know, I had a group of friends and they were each doing podcasts. And I'm like, man, I really need to, like, you know, put these guys on a pedestal and I want to promote them and everything. This is amazing. Well, then I found out about networks and I was like, oh, this is a better way that I could do it. Not only could I, like, you know, share about them, I can actually play their shows, I can do all this stuff. And so that's where KPNL was born, and that stands for K Paranormal. And it was an online digital broadcasting station. So that was actually on air from 2019 until 2024-ish. It's hard because, like, the transitions are in the later and beginning year, beginning months. So yeah. I'm not really sure on the, it, so it's one of those.
Sure.
And that, so I ended both of them. So it was hard doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
And then being a single mom too, it was a lot. And I always wanted to be a writer, an author. So I was so excited about that. Oh my gosh. And, so I just fell into writing. And when I realized that I could actually write and publish a book, I was like, I'm going to go, this is where my passion is. And I can always come back to those other things, you know, later on. And there's a lot that goes into running a broadcasting station. I mean, from, you know, promoting and then, you know, bringing people on and then, you know, all the coordination. And then, of course, like, I didn't know how to do, like, sponsorships and commercials and stuff. And yeah. I ended up paying each month instead of making anything. And so, yeah. And so it was tough and it was a really hard decision to pull it, but it was the right one financially, especially. And, so gosh. Yeah. So I did that. And then, recently, I have revisited the caravan and I'm bringing it back in a new kind of form. So, like, yes, there's going to be a podcast or like an episode here or there, but it's going to be like posted on YouTube as a video.
Okay.
And my new co-host is Ron Murphy. And I met him when I went to a Dogman conference in Tennessee. And I've had the honor of speaking with him at several other conferences here in the U.S. And we have a really similar view in regards to, like, psychology and the paranormal or psychology and Dogman or Sasquatch. And so we were like, yeah, let's bring back the caravan together. And, you know, we're going to talk about psychology of these different things. We'll have episodes. You know, we're going to appear at different conferences together. And we're even looking at, like, little, because we're also both healers. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of looking at, like, Reiki. And, you know, I'm making candles for different, you know, magic-y type, you know, stuff. So yeah. There's a lot in the works right now.
That's very exciting. That's kind of fun
you.
To keep an eye out on your space so I can catch up on
yeah,
all that. That's
for sure.
That's a lot. That's a lot of work to put all of that together. So that's very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
And you do also have another book coming out, right? Or
okay,
are you working on a book?
Okay. So how many books am I working on is the question.
yes simultaneous, so, bouncing back and forth.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So originally the intention was my second book, The Companion to the Caravan, or to The Companion to the Aperture in the Veil, was or is from Visions to Voyage. Okay. So this continues my journey from 2022 until right now.
Okay.
And this really gets into, so this one kind of takes a turn where, I mean, because this is now going over my cross-country move from Oregon to Texas. Mm-hmm. And then my second cross-country move from Texas to New York. And I really heavily get into manifestation, but I also get into some of the things that I witnessed during these journeys, you know, such as like, you know, the fracking fields and some of the scientific stuff about the particles that are in the air and health, you know, hazards and road conditions in certain areas of, you know, like New Mexico and stuff. And just so there's some conservation and human rights stuff that's in there, but I think that it's pertinent to the bigger picture of healing and manifestation.
Yeah.
And so that one carries a lot of weight with it, and there's some interviews that I have to conduct that are sensitive, and so that one I'm just really allowing to form at its own pace.
Okay.
So that one's still in formation, but I did just finish a pamphlet, because it's only about 10,000 words, and I have some beta readers right now. They're giving me some really wonderful feedback. I'm not sure if I can expand it any more past where it's at right now, because it really does feel like it's complete as is. And that is called Signals from the Elephant Cage.
Okay.
Again, it's kind of an obscure title, but the subtitle is Remote Viewing and the Echoes That We Carry. So I ended up conducting an experiment in 2021, and it was basically just my own experiments with remote viewing. My dad has a history, a military history. Secret clearance and, you know, Cold War stuff. Yeah. And I guess, you know, listening behind the Iron Curtain kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he was a signals man. And he spent time in San Vito, Italy, at the Brandisi Air Force Base, where there's something called the Elephant Cage. And this was a listening device. And I tried to see if I could, you know, I heard that remote viewing is something that you can like try to see something that's now. So like an object, like let's say I tried to remote view you right now and sure. You say, oh, I'm holding something in my hand. What is it? Kind of a thing.
Right.
I wanted to know, can you remote view through time? So can I remote view into my dad's past? Can I remote view into the future? So this pamphlety book thing, whatever it's called, 10,000 words, goes through the experiment in its entirety, and there's a conclusion, you know, on what I, you know, feel in the end from it. And it was so amazing, because I just asked for beta readers like 2 days ago or so. And I have definitely had some very strange synchronistic stuff happen since reopening basically the experiment, because even by reading it, you enter into the experiment yourself.
Right.
So I'm really excited to see what the final beta readers say, if I should go through with publishing it now or not. Like, I'm kind of playing around with learning how to format and stuff. So that one's definitely going to come out before From Visions to Voyage.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting. Even if it's a pamphlet, it sounds like it has really cool information.
Thank you.
So I'm going to wrap up here, but I wanted to go back to something you said just a little bit ago, where you said you liked antiques and old photos and all things like that. Being that you're just out of my curiosity, being that you're sensitive, you know, probably to all kinds of things at this point in your life, mm-hmm. at this point, and you know how to, you know what it is, and you know maybe how to control flows of things. Do right. you have to be careful about even so photographs feel very personal to me always. Like when I see them, when you go to, you know, flea markets or like antique stores, and there's all those yeah. really old photographs, and it kind of makes me sad that they're there, and they're very personal, you know, they just feel they just have a certain feel to them. And when I look at them, sometimes you get a certain feeling, you know, and I'm not a sensitive person at all. So if I'm feeling that way about certain items and objects and stuff, do you have to be careful about what you're putting in your space?
Yeah, I would say so for sure. I mean, growing up around the old photographs, how do I want to phrase this? It's interesting because you know, my dad, he is he's sending me a box a month of different belongings. That are mementos and keepsakes. And in the latest box, there was some old photographs. And I think some of them were family members. Other ones were just from their collections, you know. And I laughed and I said, sure, I'll adopt some ancestors.
Right.
And, but there's a couple that it's like, it's a cool photograph, but I can tell that I just energetically, it's not right to be in my space.
Right.
So I don't put it up, but I still honor that I have it. And I'm like, you know, I'm grateful that I have this, and maybe I'll find a place for it later.
Yeah.
And so, and that's hard to describe because you just have, I don't know. It's just this pull. It's kind of like, I don't know, like you can cook a meal. And maybe the meal is fine and you've done it a million times just like that before, or you went to grandma's house and she's done it the same way a million times, etc. But for some reason, it just doesn't taste quite right that night. And yeah. you're just like, man, I can't put my finger on it, but that's just, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of the same thing with the photographs.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it's just, yeah, not meant to be near you or on, you know, you're at your eye level at all times.
right, exactly.
And then we'll put all your information and stuff in the show notes, but where can listeners learn more about you if they want to learn and follow along on your book journeys, because they sound very exciting.
Thank you. So I actually have a brand new website. It's called annceline.com. So okay. Hopefully that's a good, streamlined, easy one to remember.
Yes.
And that one has all of my, so I write on Medium, okay. and I'm trying to have it connect to my website to where all of my latest, musings, if you will, are put on the landing page of my website. So they can follow my blog there. And then it also has, you know, different books and announcements. I also am looking at offering private sessions for, it's kind of like a life coaching, healing type of a situation.
Okay.
And then, of course, I'm on Facebook, Ann Celine, just, okay. you know, and Celine is S-E-L-E-N-E. So I would say that those would be the two best is my Facebook. Very communicative over there.
Okay.
And then my website.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for coming here today and hanging out with me and answering my questions. It's been really fun to talk to you.
It's been an honor. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Thank you very much. And of course, because it's the season, have a happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween.
Thank you. Now, everyone else, remember, I said this episode was special for two reasons. One, because it's Halloween, and the other, because it's also the final episode of Women in the Paranormal. To help me explain why that is, let me bring on the person who came up with the idea for this show. The man, the myth, the legend, Henry San Miguel.
Oh, for a minute, I thought you were going to introduce John Zaffis there, so thank you. Thank you for inviting me on the final episode of Women in the Paranormal.
Very happy to have you here in the hot seat.
Yes, it is kind of hot. I should have turned on the AC before we started recording, but yeah, good job. I was sitting in the other room listening, and Anne's been a friend for a while now, but good job on that one. That was a fun interview to listen to.
She very, very interesting. So many different things she dives into. I love it. So
yeah. So how do you want to wrap up the final episode?
Well, I have some questions for you now that you are here in front of the mic. Why don't you tell everybody why you decided to launch Women in the Paranormal?
Oh, you know, because it's your show, I've never actually been on here. A little weird, actually, being on your show. That actually, it's a show that I started. But yeah, part of the reason is we go back. It feels like 1,000 years ago, but I was thinking as you were talking to Anne, it was just a year ago, about this time a year ago when we did OC Paracon. That's when you and I met. And at OC Paracon, those of you that wouldn't remember, right, this was actually a panel, a presentation called Women in the Paranormal. And we had a lot of different women from different paths, and they all talked about what they did, similar to what you hear on these episodes. And you and I became friends then, and after OC Paracon, we started talking, and there was nothing wrong with it. It was just, for us, it was like there was something missing. We liked what we heard, but we wanted to hear a little bit more. And so the more we talked about it, I stopped one day and said, wait a minute. Instead of just asking us the questions, how about you do a podcast called Women in the Paranormal and you ask the questions that weren't asked on the panel? And Amanda's answer was, hell no.
Hell no.
Yeah. It's not that you didn't want to. It's not your thing. I mean, you can follow her. A lot of you probably know her from her Instagram, the spooky storyteller. That's what you do. You do paranormal history, and you visit different places. Talking on these things right here. Have you done it before? I don't know if I asked you this before. Have you done it before? Or is this your first time talking on a microphone?
No, this is quite obvious. Should be quite obvious to everybody. This is not only the first time that I have been talking on a microphone, but also I am a natural like introvert. So where, you know, it should be kind of like, oh, this should be my thing, right? I don't really have to talk to groups of people. This is just a one-on-one thing. It is not. It indeed is not my thing. It's the level of anxiety it brings, right? And maybe I'll grow into it, and maybe someday, you know, I'll do it again, or it'll be in a different format. But I very much appreciate you having me and giving me this opportunity. I did love, like you said, the Women in the Paranormal panel at OC Paracon was awesome. And, you know, with panels, sometimes you only have a little bit of time, you know, for each lady, and then you want more, and you don't have time for more. You know, you guys got to wrap it up and stuff. So it was cool to see, kind of talk to some of these ladies in a longer format. I learned so much from so many different kinds of women that we had kind of the whole range of people. So I enjoyed kind of a longer format, getting to know them more, the you know, beginning, middle, and end. So I have very much enjoyed this, you know, and I very much appreciate you asking me to host and everything. But I do have to say, I don't know if it's my like thing. Yeah. In quotation marks.
Well, I mean, all of you listening can't see us, but I was smiling when you said this isn't your thing, and it gave you a little bit of anxiety.
A bit of anxiety, by the way.
I don't know if I think I mentioned one, but I don't know if I told you this. Every single woman that you had on the episodes, a lot of them reached out to me after the episodes were recorded, after they were released, and they couldn't believe because they asked. She said, has she been doing this for a while? I said, no, this is actually her first time. They were very impressed with you, honestly. That's I'm not saying nice. That just because.
Yeah, that's very kind.
And a couple of them, they speak on microphones or speak publicly for, you know, they've been doing it for quite a while. So they were quite impressed with your questions and your style. So
that's very kind.
I think it's just you.
It's probably just me. It might be. It might be a little me and a little just, you know, not being comfortable with myself in the format. You know, it's brand new, and sometimes it's kind of weird to learn new things as an adult. You doubt literally everything. You don't have that like childlike mind. You're double guessing literally everything. So, you know, we'll see what comes in the future. It's not like I'm swearing off podcasts for the rest of my life, but this felt like a good time, you know, Halloween, and it's fun, spooky season. It felt like a great time to be like, you know what? We can wrap it up nice and fun.
Yeah. Well, I will say something that I have learned doing this for almost four decades at this point. When guests or listeners, when they're impressed, that means you actually sounded better than we thought. Yeah, to us, we're always going to be our worst critic, as we know.
Yeah.
But if they're complimenting you without me fishing for it, it just came out from them. That means you were good. You did good. So know that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you.
But what did you ask me? I mean, I went off somewhere else. What did you ask me?
No, you got it. You said I asked you why you launched it, and you explained why launched it. But also, you can let everybody know how you kind of, or I guess how we kind of brainstormed which guests we would have for these episodes.
Honestly, it did. It took a while. It really did. Yeah. You would figure, you know, women in the paranormal, just find women that do stuff in the paranormal. We didn't want to just feature just whoever. It, you know, the way I put it is it needed to be, I think I called them heavy hitters. Yeah. And it was pretty much everybody that you heard, you know, they weren't all part of a team. Oh, we did have a ghost hunting team, but we didn't want everybody to be just ghost hunters or all psychics or numerologists or you know, something like that. Everybody did something different, and everybody's path especially was different in how they got there. Not everybody. I think with Anne a second ago, I don't think you asked her. Maybe you did. I missed it. But you know, most of them have experienced some kind of pushback because they're women.
Yeah. Of course.
With Anne, knowing her personally, I don't think she ever has. I don't know if she brought anything up or not. No. Again, I was paying attention to the button pushing I was doing, so maybe she mentioned it, but everybody else, that's also what we wanted to hear from them, not just their accomplishments, but what it took, especially when they're getting that kind of pushback, because it is real. Yeah. Even I know that. I'm not a woman, but even I have gotten some pushback on my paranormal journey, so I wanted to hear that, and the main thing is I didn't want to host it, because try as I might, I'm not a woman. So
you could never.
No, so it had to be you. I mean, that again, that's the reason why I wanted to do that, because I wanted the same reason why I made it a panel at OC Paracon. I've been wanting to do it for a while. Sure. I want to highlight people other than, you know, the, oh my gosh, what is that? The YouTubers or the TV celebrities, you know, they get enough attention. How about the people that actually put some work and not just running around screaming and yelling, but they actually put in research, real research, and put out books and other things that they and speaking engagements and other things that they do. I wanted to feature that, because they don't get featured, and so I figured why not do a podcast about it.
Yeah, and there are quite a few ladies, because we're wrapping it up in October, and it was hard for us sometimes to schedule with everybody's schedules. You know, we're all adults, we're all doing a million things. It's hard to make the time for this, but we did have, you know, quite a few ladies that I regret not having on here that had, you know, I think have a lot to say too. And I also am mindful, I will throw this in just kind of like with an asterisk, is these women that we have on or didn't get a chance to have on, they're still in the paranormal. You know, they're in the paranormal space, and they're going to, you know, conventions, and they're writing books, and they're doing all kinds of things. And I think sometimes being asked about your challenges, you know, whether it's whatever is pushback, you know, the genre they're in, or the people, or the men, or the women, or whatever it is, it's kind of hard to be vulnerable and talk about that when you're in it. You know, I never wanted people to come on here and, you know, shame people or just be like, oh, this person is such a jerk. So like, you don't kind of want to, I guess, bite the hand that feeds you kind of is the way I look at it. You know, I'm mindful about, like, you know, sometimes maybe people don't feel completely comfortable to talk about what kind of struggles that they have gone through, or they kind of just push past them because, you know, they're still in it. This is their, this is their field. This is their livelihood. And for everyone who kind of, you know, shared any kind of personal, you know, struggles or just personal stories in general, I appreciate you all very much. Thank you. Thank you to all of my guests is really what I need to say, because I really appreciate all of these ladies.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed all of them. I mean, most of them are friends, so, you know.
Right.
But I really enjoyed, and I mentioned it to you and Anne before you guys started recording. I really enjoyed being there, but not having to come up with questions or I could actually just listen.
Sure.
And to me, this is why I do a show called The Geek Speak Show. Over on well, most people that describe themselves as geeks, we like to be the first at anything. Yeah. The first to see a trailer, the first to see a movie or whatever. I liked being the first to hear your episodes because yeah, I heard them while you were doing it.
Yes, you get lifetime, yeah, real time.
So I like them.
And so why, you know, do you want to let everybody know too why, we've kind of talked a little bit about why Women of the Paranormal is ending, but why is paranormal perception also ending?
Yeah, both are ending today, Halloween. Paranormal perception, honestly, I think I ended it, and all of you that listen, I think you'll agree. I think I ended it earlier this year without really meaning to, because I just haven't recorded anything paranormal perception or paranormal related until I was doing the Halloween stuff on the other show, on the Geek Speak show, but nothing paranormal perception. And the reason why that is not because I'm not interested in paranormal stuff. That paranormal is always going to be a part of my life. It always has been. And I guarantee you, it always will be. So it's not that. What it is I just don't have I don't have an interest in talking about paranormal topics anymore. Not because it's boring, but exactly for what you mentioned a second ago. That yeah, you are going to get pushback. They may not say it in my face, but you see it online. You hear it at conventions. You hear it at you know different places. This guy, he's not even an investigator. He doesn't do any research. He's just talking about it. What does he know? I know people, some people have said it in my face before. So, and honestly, I get tired of that. And then that's also, I'm not going to go into too much detail here. I do go into full detail on paranormal perception. So the final episode is out there. So if you really want a detailed explanation why, go listen to that one. But I will just say, to answer your question, I also got tired of the people in the paranormal, air quotes, community, where there's very, very few of it, because it's gotten to a point where because I'm friends with so-and-so or because I've had this person or this team on paranormal perception, but not them, then they can't be my friend, right? They can't do stuff with me. And yeah, I've had kids. I don't need little kids that aren't even mine. So I just got tired of that and I don't want to deal with that anymore. So everybody, whatever, if you enjoy the paranormal, great. If you're that kind of person, and if that rubbed you the wrong way, then you're probably that kind of person. Then you need to stop that. And if you don't, nothing I can do about it. But I can. So I'm stopping paranormal perception for that reason alone.
Understood. That makes sense.
So let me end. I know it's your podcast, even though I created this thing, but it's your podcast. But let me say this to anybody that's listening right now, especially if you are yourself a woman and you have an interest in the paranormal. If that's the case, you keep going. You, as the kids say, you do you. Keep on that journey, whatever that journey may be. Now, if your journey, like I just said, finds you on paths that mean you're going to be talking down about other paranormal researchers or enthusiasts, then honestly, you took a wrong turn somewhere. Anyway, you know, you didn't have a map, especially if those turns have you talking down about other women and their paranormal journey, and you really went down the wrong path. Do the opposite. Support each other. Uplift each other. Be a voice for each other. This podcast won't be here, but you can. You can start a podcast if you want. Amanda, thank you for agreeing. I said it again, but thank you for agreeing to host this podcast. You did a great job, like I said. Now, do you have any final words for maybe... That's the wrong way to put it. It sounds like we're dying or something. No. Do you have any parting words?
Parting words.
For everybody listening.
Mostly, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. I really appreciate it. Thank you for everybody's support and Henry's support and all the guests that have come on here and anybody who's reached out about the show. I really, truly appreciate it. And I do agree. I think there's space for everybody. You know, there's the field. There's many different people, many different kinds of interests. And you know, there's space for all of us. So, you know, helping each other out is kind of the way to go.
Yeah, and This is the kind of person Amanda is. You forgot to tell them. They can keep following you. You're not going away. You can follow them on their on your Instagram. What is your Instagram?
You can follow me at The Spooky Storyteller, and you can reach out anytime.
And because this is Halloween, and those of you that listen to Paranormal Perception, you know the Paranormal Perception episode is always your. We share some of ours, but it's always your paranormal experiences, your ghost stories. Amanda, do you have any
ghost stories?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. She did have one, but you're not going to hear it. If you want to hear it, you got to go not to Paranormal Perception. You got to go over to the other show, the Geek Speak show. I'm going to include it in there because over there for the Halloween episode this year, it's all your listener ghost stories, some of our ghost stories. So I'm going to include Amanda's, the one she just shared, over there. Yeah, to tease, go over there. But there you go. Everybody, again, thanks a lot. If you want to listen to the end of Paranormal Perception, that's out also today. And everybody else, thanks for listening. And for now, we'll just say goodbye, farewell, and of course, happy Halloween.
That was this month's featured woman in the paranormal. If you know of someone who needs to be featured in an upcoming episode, visit paranormalperception.show and click on the Women in the Paranormal link on the homepage. You can listen to past episodes, learn more about Amanda Ashley, and you can suggest a woman whose contributions need to be highlighted in one of these episodes.
Paranormal Perception presents Women in the Paranormal was recorded, edited, produced, and distributed by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC.